Here I am.
He is wonderful. We're going to change the order of the service now. We'll ask Brother Daniel to come, and we're going to sing part of I Love Him. Damn, because he first loved me. He obeyed. Let's all stand. Oh,
sacrifice to come sometimes when you work in the heat or the day, you're working in summer, and then you travel and you fight, but you know what? When there's no sacrifice, there's no blessing. Amen.
That's right, brother.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. And I want to speak to you tonight on tear your barrier down. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul revive itself in fatness.
Amen.
We want to skip down to verse 7 in the same chapter and read through verse 11. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. Let's just bow our heads and let's just pray for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and I ask you for your blessings tonight, Lord. Help me to get out of the way now, Lord. God, I know your people are tired, Lord, from the day's struggles, Lord, and Lord, I just want to speak exactly what you want me to say and the way you want me to say it, Lord. And Lord, bid us to be encouraged tonight by the Word of God. We love you. We thank you. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. I want to read one quote to you. It's Looking at the Unseen. It was in 58. Brother Brown said, I am told by aviators who fly these here real fast jet planes, and they say that the plane getting up to certain speed, that it vibrates and it shakes, and it seems like the bolt is going to fly out of it, that the wings are going to come off of it until they pass the sound barrier. But after they once they pass the sound barrier, they say the plane can just sails out just in ease when it passes the sound barrier. That's the obstacle that's in the way of the plane. When it passes its own sound barrier, then it runs at ease. Oh, if the church of this day could ever pray till they pass the sin barrier and the unbelief barrier, they could shout the victory of the living God. When they once passed a barrier by looking to the unseen and letting the world vibrate and do what he wants to do. Amen. I can remember when I was a little boy, all the time we would be out running out in the pasture and never had shoes on. We'd always run around and we could run on thorns back then. And I'm pretty confident my feet were probably thicker than some shoes of some soles. Anywhere, other country boys know what I'm talking about. We could run, we could jump on gravel, and it didn't hurt a bit. It was calloused. And see, we'd always run out in those pastures, and we'd run, and we'd play all the time, and never wore shoes. I always hated wearing shoes. But I remember we'd be out in the pasture playing, or playing football, or going fishing, and we'd see a jet coming over us, and all of a sudden, we'd hear a loud ba-boom. And that plane broke its sound barrier. And you'd see this huge cloud right there, and you couldn't even see the plane anymore. It was going so fast. And that was very common that we would always see that. And what that was, we would always call it the sonic boom. We'd say, there's the plane breaking its sound barrier. Yes. And it was a very common thing to see at that time. Anytime, we'd be up at school or whatever, and you would hear it come over the school, and you'd hear the loud boom really loud, and everybody knew what that was. It was a common word back then.
Yeah,
breaking its sound barrier. Is that right?
Yeah.
But you don't hear that much anymore. People don't talk about that very often anymore.
Yeah.
But see, what Brother Branham's talking about is that plane, before it could get to that point of breaking its sound barrier, it would actually come to a point where it felt like the plane was going to actually fall apart. The wings were vibrating so hard, the bolts, you literally think the plane's going to fall apart, but that's whenever it's fixing to break through that sound barrier. And once it breaks through, it's unlimited.
Yes.
How fast it can
go.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's the way it is for the believer. See, we have sound barriers that's all around us. And I want to stop and I want to show you, like Eve. See, she had a barrier around her, but it was a good barrier at one time. But see, Satan put a barrier around her of reasoning with God's Word. And whenever it put that reasoning beyond God's Word, what she done is he held her back where she could no longer fly as high as she's supposed to fly. Amen.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what the devil wants to do with us today. He wants us to have that same problem where he limits us on how high we can fly. He wants to limit us on how far we can go. Amen. He wants us to go just a little bit in your walk. Well, you can praise a little bit in church, but don't overdo that. Because if you do, your bolts might start falling out. Amen.
Right.
You know, whenever there's a song that comes on and you feel that melody starting to burn in your heart and you're walking through the parking lot and there's something on the inside, I got to praise the Lord. Anybody knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You feel that feeling where I got to praise and you start to sing, but all of a sudden you feel something pull you back. Don't you sing so loud? People's going to see you. You're singing out loud. It's a sound barrier.
That's right.
You know, whenever you have something, when you're laying in bed and you've got something to come across your heart or your mind and you think about something in the Bible, something in the Scriptures that'll ring to you and you're like, you know what, I want to read that. And you start to get up, but all of a sudden you feel a resistance come across you. It's a sound barrier.
That's right.
And that barrier will push you back where you're so limited because you feel like if I get up, my bolts are going to start falling out. My wings are going to start falling off if I try to get up and start praying in the middle of the night. I mean, who does that anymore? Sound barriers aren't heard about anymore today. Neither is praying in the middle of the night. Amen?
Right.
See, Satan wants to fight so hard to where he resists us where we can't fly as far as what we should be able to fly. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm reminded of Joseph, or not Joseph, Joshua. When Joshua, he was commanded to circumcise again the children of Israel. He says, you circumcise them again. He said, because I can't take them on until this happens. And what it was, it's not that they need to be recircumcised. There was children that were born in the wilderness since the circumcision. And there were some children that needed to be circumcised. And until they got circumcised, the same circumcision that took place before, they could not go on in their journey. Amen?
Right.
They had to be circumcised. And during this circumcision, everyone was circumcised and Joshua, he was out there, he was praising the Lord, and he was seeking God, and all of a sudden, and he got so enthused, he got so past that sound barrier, he was ready to kill something that came against the army of God, amen? Joshua was so enthused with the power of God, he said, you know what? He said, let someone dare come across this camp. Let someone dare come across and try to come against the children of Israel. Let someone dare do it, and an angel of the Lord actually stood up. And Joshua jumps up, grabs his sword, he says, are you with us or are you with them? Joshua was so enthused, so empowered, so excited over the power of God of seeing people being circumcised, he was ready to fight an angel if it took place. How many would you be ready to fight an angel? He's a little more enthused than I am. Right? If I see an angel come up, I'm like, well, what can I do for you, sir? But see, he got enthused. There was something inside of him. He broke his sound barrier. You know, imagine David, as David was out in the field and he was taking care of the sheep. David knew what he was doing. He had been raised right. He knew how to take care of the father's sheep. And as he was out there, I can imagine as he was practicing with his slingshot and doing the things that he did, I imagine he would think in his mind, oh, let there just be a bear come up. Let that bear come up. I'll tear his arm off. And you get real excited about it. But then when the showdown comes, when there's really a bear that comes, you're like, oh, a bear? A bear? Did someone say a bear coming? You know, it's a lot. It's real easy to talk the talk whenever you don't have to walk the walk. Amen? And you can say, you know what? Let cancer come my way. Because when it comes, I'll tear its arm off. Let it come. You know, you can talk the talk. Let whatever may come. Let tribulation winds try to come. I'll fight them. I'm ready to go. Enthusiasm, ready to go. But then once you start feeling the breeze coming in, and he's like, you know, when you start praying more, kind of like that bear, amen? But I can imagine David, he had, many times as a young boy, he would think to himself, let these things happen, I'm ready for it. But one day old David was out there, and he was watching the sheep out there. And as he watched these sheep, he seen something, and it was going through the weeds, and it was going towards, and what was it? It was a bear. And this big bear was actually coming towards the sheep. David had thought all of his life, you know what, let a bear come, I will rip his arm off. All these times David had thought in his mind, visioned how he would throw that slingshot. But I imagine when he seen that thing coming through at first, coming towards the sheep, at first old David's old heart started beating. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? That's one of the sheep. That is one of the sheep. What am I going to do? The sheep are under attack. What am I going to do? And I don't think he was thinking about ripping his arm off at that time. But you know what David did? He reached deep within inside him and used the ability that God gave him. God didn't give him the ability to go rip that bear's arm off. He gave him the ability to use a slingshot. And that's what he was equipped with. That's what God used him. See, God equips us with something on the inside that we can use. And if we'll always just use what God gave us, it'll work the best. Amen? So he didn't try to go rip his arm off. That old bear he was going through, I mean, he was crawling through the weeds and he was big old nose sniffing out there, smelling that sheep, getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And I imagine the water started flowing out of his mouth and this bear was thinking, oh my goodness, we're having supper tonight. He was getting closer to that lamb, but he got so caught up in his barrier. He got so caught up in his sound barrier, he got so close, he didn't even hear something else on the backside. David broke the sound barrier. David was back here and said, ha ha, you're a dead man. David started going behind him. That old bear started getting closer, and the bearer was caught up in the sound barrier. See, he couldn't go any further. He was so caught up in what he was doing, he didn't realize he was dead meat. David stood back there with God's given ability. He wound that big old slingshot up and hit him in the back of the head, killed that bear. But see, what that happened was David did it in the ability God gave him. Amen?
Yeah.
And see, that's the way we're going to fight the devil, brothers and sisters. We're going to fight it in the ability God gave us. You know what that is? Faith. And believing. That's the one thing that we got to go reach down to whenever, no matter how big the bear or how little the bear, we got to reach into the ability God gave us. It's prayer. Where you simply pray and say, God, your word says it, and I believe it. Amen? And God gave it to you. And you know, and later on time, and you know the story of how David, he killed the lion. But then there became a bigger obstacle. It was Goliath. Now I want you to think about this. Goliath, with David, with his brothers, David had rejoiced in the Lord because David had a heart for God's sheep and God respected that. Amen? See, God wants us to have a heart for God's sheep. He wants to have us a love for God's sheep. And I believe that's the way it is when we have love one for another. Have you ever noticed it's your love for one another that makes you brave? I can remember one time when I was a little boy, there was this guy that I was, he was one of our neighbors, and I was scared to death of that guy. He was so much bigger than I was, and I was just scared to death of him. And I said, oh my goodness. He was, it seemed like he was 10 foot tall until he touched my little brother. When he touched my little brother, he looked like a little bug walking on the floor because I broke my sound barrier. Somebody was going against my brother. And when he went against my brother, it was on. You know, that's the same way it's got to be with us in the Lord. Amen? Sometimes you can be fighting and you can be struggling through this life, going through one trial after another. And it seems like you ain't got enough faith to hold your head up. You're going through life and it seems like, you know what, you can't think of one hymn to get you to praise, lift your hands up and praise the Lord. Amen? Sometimes you can go through trials and it seems like one trial after another. And it seems like there's something in you that's like, my Lord, I want to be so happy right now. I have so many trials. You get over this devil, then you got this devil. You get over this one, you got this one. And it seems like you really can't lift your head up. But then you talk to a brother or sister that's talking discouraged. And then all of a sudden something rises up and it's like, you know what? I'm going to kill this devil. Amen. Because there's something that rises up in you during that time when you see a brother or sister in need, that gives you faith. That's what gives you the courage. You let yourself be tired and wearied. And let's say you're really tired. You say, the only thing I can think about is I want to go home and I want to put my feet up in the air in a recliner. I want to drink some cold water. I just want to relax. And you're on your way home and you see an older couple that's got a battery problem. And they're broke down beside the road. And you're tired. You feel like going home. The only thing you want to do is go home and put your feet up. But you're going down the road and you see an old couple with and they're working with the battery and it's hot and it's sweating. And they're tired. And you look up and say, oh my Lord, that's Richard. That's Mary. And they've got car trouble. They're having problems. And you see them, they're tired, they're weary, they're tired, they're exhausted. And all of a sudden, your tiredness ain't tired no more, amen? Yeah. All of a sudden, you feel that old heart beating. You say, you know what, let me take a swing at it, amen? What is it? You see a brother and sister in need, amen? And see, that's what we're supposed to do, is we got to live for one for another. When we live one for another, we break in that sound barrier. And that's the thing we got to come to, friends, where we realize we need each other. We absolutely need each other. I need my little brother. He's not always annoying. I need my older sister. She's not always annoying. Well, maybe most of the time. But I need my older sister. Amen? I remember a story Brother Brown talked about. It was an old couple. Or a married couple. And they were going to get a divorce. And they were going through the house. And they were actually separating the things out of the house. This is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine. And the woman, the mother, said, well, this is mine right here. And they were going all through the house, just terrorizing. Just a terrible looking thing. They went through all the house, and they were saying, the wife would say, this is mine, and the husband would say, this is mine, and they got all the way up to the attic. They were doing the same thing, and they got to a trunk. And they flipped this trunk up, and they both said, this is mine, and this is mine. And they both grabbed a pair of shoes at the same time. It was a little baby shoe. And see, that little baby was a baby that both of them held on to. And it was something both of them could unite with. And that they put their arms around one another and began to love each other. See, what it was is they were seeing all the things that this was mine and this was mine. But when they come across that, it was something they both had. It's something they both had in common. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's what we got to come to, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
We got to come to the one thing that we all have in common. Jesus. Amen? Salvation. Where I need deliverance. I need healing. I need a Savior. Because, see, when we all come to that, you won't see the divisions like we're seeing right now. Will you see the churches that are split up that won't fellowship with one another? You know, when you see brothers and sisters that won't fellowship with one another,
yeah.
That's, this is mine, this is mine. That's all that is. But see, when we come to the real thing in the middle, the message, the true message.
Yeah.
When we come to that true message, it don't matter where you're, if you're in Mexico, it don't matter if you're in Honduras, it don't matter if you're in Arkansas, it don't matter where it's at. When we all grab onto it and say, that's part of me too.
That's right.
And it brings a real unity. Amen. And that's what we've got to come to. We've got to come to that real, true unity. Where we say, you know what? I'm identified with this message. I love this message. Amen.
Amen.
Satan has tried so hard, brothers and sisters, and you know this is the truth, to cause division. And the way he will separate a home, he will cause the husband and the wife to separate. The way he does it, he brings division in the home. And he'll make them start to look at the things that they don't have versus the things that they have. You know, if I imagine with Eve, if the only thing she seen was Adam, she had her blinders on, she wouldn't know there was anything else out there. But see, what Satan did is he showed her that she was missing something. Satan showed her that there's something else out there. You're missing it. You're missing out on so much. You're so cooped up inside this message of Adam. You're so cooped up in it that you're missing it, Eve. There's all kinds of things out there. You're missing out on all the fun, all the good things. And what he done, he made her think she was missing something. And that's exactly how the devil works on marriages today. That's exactly how he works on young people today. It's exactly how he works on older people today. He makes you think you're missing something. You can't be focusing on this. Don't focus on the message. Don't seek that with all the time, because when you do that, you're missing the latest episode. You're missing the newest clothing that's come out. You're missing the newest basketball player that's out there, the newest football player, the newest tools that are out. He wants you to make you think you're missing something. And see, when he causes a man to think he's missing something on his wife, and say, you know what, there's more out there, that's when he starts to look over the fence. And that's whenever he starts to look at things he shouldn't be looking at.
Right.
It's because he thinks he's missing something. And see, that's exactly what he does with young people. When their parents say, this is what we believe, brothers and sisters. My children, this is what we believe. This is the token. This is what we believe. And the devil will try to make you think you're missing something. And he will cause you to want to look over that fence and look and see, maybe Dad don't know about what's going on. Dad was pretty good during his day, but this is a new day.
Right.
He don't really know how to handle the new swing today. So you got to realize Dad is tied to somebody that's the rock of ages, amen?
Amen.
Because spirits don't die. They just change dwelling places. That's all they do.
That's right.
The same spirits we're fighting today is the same one they were fighting way back then, brothers and sisters. They're not new spirits. They're the same ones, just to try to put a different disguise on. That's all it is. But I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost, he's the same one too, amen?
Amen.
He's the same one. And you know what? That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants you to think we're missing something. He'll work on your mind and make you think, you know what? There's more out there. That's the devil telling you that, brothers and sisters. Because, see, the word, the message that God gave, let me ask you, has our message been vindicated?
Amen.
Amen. Has it truly been vindicated? Not just by pillar of fire, not just by those things. But see, the things that was quoted back then went exactly in the Scripture.
Yeah.
I want you to say, this is what's so awesome about the message. Brother Brenham never said, hey, y'all come over and look at what I believe. Look at my belief. He never said that. You know what he always said? He said, get back to the Word. Get back to the Word. Only believe. Only believe. Get back to the Word. And see, he was telling them, and during the times of the denominations, there was healings that were taking place. There were discernments taking place. Those things were great. But see, the greatest thing Brother Brenham did, he said, get back to the Word. Try to get them back to hold the true token. Hold the token over your home, where you have the blood on the outside, where it shows that you have accepted the sacrifice. Amen? He didn't pull us back to some cult of a belief, of something of his own belief. Everything he tied to was back to the Word.
That's right.
Thank you. He pounded it. Only believe the Word of God. Amen. There is a true baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was talking about, and during his message, he wasn't trying to tell you, oh, now listen, church, when you shout, you've got it. Speak in tongues, you've got the Holy Ghost. He didn't say that, did he?
No.
What did he say, young people? He says whenever there's a transformation on the inside, and there's something new on the inside, a new desire, amen? There's a desire on the inside where you once liked certain things, and there's a new diet on the inside. God leads us by our diet. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He sure does. God will lead a pregnant woman by her diet too. That woman, she will have the craziest cravings you've ever seen. Peanut butter and pickles. Carrots and that cottage cheese. You've got to be pregnant like that stuff. He'll put those cravings inside you where you can want that crazy stuff. He's leading them by their diet. There's something on the inside that, oh, I'm so hungry for. I know it sounds crazy. Cottage cheese. Good. It sounds so nasty, but oh, I want it. That little pregnant woman will lay in that bed, and it'll be 2 in the morning. And she'll say, hey, you go get some cottage cheese? What? Who thinks about cottage cheese in the middle of the night? I don't think about it at all. But this crazy woman's wanting cottage cheese. Why? Something on the inside of her needs cottage cheese.
Yeah.
There's a deep call to the deep on the inside. Something inside here says, I need cottage cheese. And what is it? It's something. It's just to the refrigerator. There's a leading. Amen? And that's the way it is with the son and daughter of God when you have a diet. You have something call out that will spark out in the Scriptures. Something that you... Where did that thought come from? But something in the Scriptures will come out. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Something will come out. You know what that is? 2 in the morning? Who thinks about this in the 2 o'clock in the morning? This pregnant lady does. Why? We're impregnated by life on the inside, and we are led by that diet. See, whenever you have that craving, when that mama has that craving for that weird stuff, she needs to eat those things. I believe that. When she has a craving for those things, it's because that baby needs what she's craving. And if she wants a strong, healthy baby, she needs to be led by her diet. Amen? Now, obviously, if she's wanting to eat junk, that's the wrong kind of lead. Right?
Right. That's right.
But that's the same way it is with us. You can have a craving and say, you know what? I must need that. I must need this stuff because I have a craving for it. That's this leading. That's not the right kind of leading. You say amen?
Yeah, amen.
You're not being pulled by your heart there. That's your gut. There's a big difference.
Right.
So you can feed the flesh, or you can feed the heart. Delight thy soul in righteousness. Amen?
Yeah.
Delight thyself in fatness, as the Scripture says.
Amen, that's right.
Where you have a craving on the inside of that, and you want to feed that. If it wants yogurt, I don't want a little bitty tub. I want to give it a 5-gallon bucket. I want the good stuff in the back. Bring that stuff up here. Because I want to feed that thing. I want to delight myself in fatness. What am I saying? When you have a desire to pray, don't get just a little bitty little tub of it. Get the 5-gallon bucket. So bring me the dolly, please. I need some prayer. Amen? When you have a desire to sing to the Lord, you know what that is? That's something on the inside of you that's leading you to sing. Because there's a seed on the inside and it needs water. Amen? It needs praise. And when you praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you what, chains will fall.
Yeah.
Bondages will fall. I had a day here just recently. It just seemed like everything was going wrong and just real tough time. You ever had one of them days? It seemed like nothing goes right. I'm going out in the parking lot. And all of a sudden, something on the inside says, is that song is... I can see my father standing at the door. I've never been this homesick before. Amen. I heard that song sing up through there, and what that was, it was something leading me. I started singing that song, and then right when I started singing that old barrier come through there, and it said, someone's going to hear you singing. So what? Let the bright light shine. It's just just about home time. I tell you what, I was singing like a bird out there, going out to my parking lot, and circumstances started changing. Amen? That's right. Circumstances started changing, and not only did I get one deal, I got two deals. Praise God. You know what? You need some deals? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
You say, you know what? I need God to move on this obstacle. I've got some bondages coming on me. Start praising the Lord a little bit. So you know what? I don't really feel like praising the Lord, though. Praise Him anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen? Because once you start singing Him, you think about this. If you only ate when you felt like eating, how long are you going to live? Or if you go to work the only time you feel like going to work, how long are you going to have a job? If you had a job and you went there and said, you know what, I'm going to go to work, and today I feel like going to work. So I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to do a good job because I feel like it. I go to work and I do a good job. And the next day, you know what, I really just don't feel led to go to work today. That probably ain't God. Amen?
Right.
I don't really feel like giving my all today. If you'd be on a baseball team or a football team or a basketball team, I feel like giving my all today. I'm going to give my all today. Well, you probably will play today. But you know what? If you only play hard when you feel like it, you ain't going to play for much. You're going to sit on the bench, what we used to call the bench warmers. Because you've got to give your all every time, amen? Every time. When you get sick, one of the best things to do when you're sick, play hard, work hard, and sleep good at night. Work that sweat up and get that stuff out of you. What am I getting at? We want victory in our life. We got to do it 100% all the time. Amen. I'm preaching to Daniel number one. Amen. Yeah. Every one of us would look at ourselves. You know what? I'm falling short.
Yeah.
I see sometimes I could have given a whole lot more when I didn't. And you know, I remember we had a coach. His name was Coach Darnell. And he's still a coach there. And he was old when I went to school. What's that tell you? And I'm telling you what, we'd be in that field house, we'd be sitting there, and we would lose the game. We'd lost the game, and we're expecting Coach to come in there and put his arms around us and say, "Oh, Junior, it's okay. It's okay, you lost." You know, you're sitting there and you're waiting on Papa Coach to come out here and just hold me for a minute and make me feel all fuzzy on the inside. I lost. Oh, Coach, I lost. We're expecting Coach to come here and butter us up, but guess what? He came in there and said, "What was that? What are you doing?" What about my hug? He didn't come in under a hug. He came in under a whip. He came in here, and I'll tell you what, I thought I felt this tall after the game. I was negative. I was negative after the coach. He tore into us, and there wasn't no lovey-dovey. He was tearing us up. "What are you doing? Why did you do this? Why did you do that?" He was tearing into us. You know why? He was correcting us. Amen. And sometimes when we go through our battles, we go through our trials, we've been fighting these, and we get to service, and you're like, "Oh, Lord, come hold me and hug me and tell me how good I am and how bad that devil is." And the minister gets up and says, "What are you doing? Line up! Get back in! Get it back in line! What are you doing? Quit your whining!" Oh, and you're just going tore up. Then after a little bit, you start saying, at first you're kind of upset with the coach. "Ah, man, I'm telling you what," we would say, "that coach just don't understand. He don't understand what we're going through." And then one time, Coach Darnell sat down with us. Tore into us. I mean, we were tore. He tore us good. And he sat down right with us. He said, "Boys, I'm going to tell you why I did what I did. I'll never forget this." He said, it was our last game that I would ever play during the season. He said, and I was the one that was supposed to run the ball. I was the one that's supposed to do it. He said, and I was going through, and I was going through, and I was going through. He said, but at the last bit, I didn't give my all. He said, I thought I had it made. He said, right at the end, I thought I could have done it, but I said, you know what, I got this. I got this. Well, guess what? They clobbered him right in front of the touchdown line. And it costed the whole team because he didn't give his all. You know what? We're right at the line, brothers and sisters. We're fixing to cross this line. We're fixing to make a touchdown. Amen. We're fixing to win the whole championship that we've been fighting. Because you go to a championship, you got to win several games. And we've had Luther won a game. And we've had Wesley won his game. We had Abraham won his game. We had all of these win their game. Right. And we're right at the climax of this championship. And we're fighting. We're running the final run. We're fixing to cross the touchdown. And this right now is when the devil wants to put a sound barrier on you. Well, you're just quieting down. I'm going to fall apart if I keep pressing too hard. Look back and remember how many people, how hard they played.
Yeah.
How hard they believed. How many people died for what they believed. How many people that are behind us, that are, if we can just look beyond that veil, we can see our other teammates saying, come on, run. Run with the message. Run with the message. It's almost over. Amen. We can hear Luther saying, come on, brothers and sisters, we're almost there. Cross that touchdown. Cross that line. Finally cross it. Get back in line. Come on. This isn't a time to be a baby. This is a time to line up and run with the best you've got. Amen. God always leaves the best runners for last. Is that right?
Yeah.
The best runners will run last. And do you feel like the best runner?
No.
I bet Job sure didn't feel like a righteous man either.
Yeah.
But he was. Let's run with what we believe. Amen. Let's commit ourselves and say, you know what? God gave me this message. I'm going to run with it. Because I can hear beyond that veil. I can hear all those angels singing. They're praising and saying, come on, run. Amen? Something on the inside. I'm fixing to close. I'm trying. Fixing to close. But you think about a little pregnant woman that's fixing to give birth. She'll be in there and bless her heart, she's about as big as around, and she is tall sometimes. The way my wife was. She's not here tonight. She'd skin me if she was here. She might get off the web. But you know what? They're laying there, and they're just as big as can be. They've delighted themselves in fatness. But this is the time to push. This is the time. You know, there's been the time of eating and feeding. There was a time for that. There was a time when they, and so to speak, they were eating, being fed like calves in a stall. There was a time for that where they were fed. They ate and they done all the things, the diet. There was a time for that. But this wasn't the time for just that. This was the time for delivery. This was the time that everyone's been waiting for. The delivery. To hear that baby cry. Amen. And as she's laying there, there's this pain that come across, her stomach. And it's so painful. She'll feel that. Like, oh my goodness. Birth pains. And it'll pass for a little while. And it'll birth pains. But you know what? You have to go through the birth pains to get to the delivery. Amen. I believe we're going through birth pains right now. I believe this earth is going through birth pains right now. All the things you see going on right now. Breaks my heart to see what they've done. With the capital of the United States. In a rainbow color. The other day.
Yeah.
How many men died for the land, the dirt that we were standing on? How many men that were out there and they were working together as a unit, working together, taking land together as an army because they held on to something, amen? Something on the inside that they all believed in, in one united. They believed in it, amen? But we got a bunch of people out there that they ain't never done nothing no more than nothing.
That's right.
And they want everything given to them. And they don't want to be offended. They don't want to be offended by these things. A bunch of garbage. And they'll have to answer to God for it one day.
That's right.
Something on the inside of me wants to rise up when I see that and say, it ain't right. Amen.
That's right.
You know what? I don't know, Brother Tony, how far we'll see that. How much we come in there when they try to come in here. But brother, I'm committed. I want to stand with this word. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
We're to stand with this word. That devil's going to try to put those barriers on here and say, you better not preach that. You better not preach this because you'll go to jail. Just like that old line. Put that fear in it. But you know what? We're going to do it with what God gave us.
That's right.
The ability God gave us, the message. Amen.
Amen.
And we see that old devil trying to come inside here with them false spirits of Hollywood and all that garbage trying to come over our young people. I'm telling you what, I feel like David must have felt whenever he had something on the inside said, I ain't going to stand for it. And that old lion starts creeping up on him. He's got a ministry, amen. That fivefold ministry is right behind that old lion. He's got that message. He's going to knock him in the head. Amen. You know what? I'm ready to fight the devil when he sees them coming against one of our young people.
Yeah.
He comes one of our own. Amen. Say, there'll be a time when you feel beat down, you see your brother right there with battery trouble. The old back's going to straighten up. I'm ready to change the battery. I wish to God I could have been there to change that battery, brother. You don't know how much. I heard him say that. My brother Richard had that problem. I was like, oh my goodness, I wish I could have been there to change it. Yeah. Something on the inside of you, when you see your brother in need, you just want to be there. Amen? And when you hear your brother or sister struggling or something, you want to be there. You want to be there to help them. But you know what the devil will try to make the person that's being beat down? He'll make them think that nobody cares. And nobody understands. Nobody knows what I'm going through. That's what the devil wants you to think, brothers and sisters. But see, you got to look at what God thinks about it. He said, we are more than able to take this thing. Amen? More than able. Praise God. That's what it's saying. Let's break our sound barriers.
Amen.
Amen? We see those things trying to come in. Let's break the sound barrier. Let's go fight for one another. Amen? Pray. Let's have victory in this camp. Praise God. Let's pray for our pastor. You know, the Apostle Paul, I'll show you many times in Scripture, he'd say, pray for me that I can hear a clear utterance from God.
Yep.
And that I can make it clear to the people that they can understand.
That's exactly right.
That's what Paul said. Now, if Paul was saying that to them, what should we be praying for?
Amen.
Our ministry. Amen?
That's right. Amen?
We should be praying for our ministry and say, God, bless my ministry here that they can have a clear utterance from God and give them the ability to preach it in a way that we can understand it. Amen? Because His Word will not return on Him void. God sends rain down for a reason and it does the purpose it was sent for. He sends snow down, it's going to do the purpose it was sent for. God sent a message down, it's going to do what it was supposed to do. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
It's not going to return void.
Right.
It was here. It was sent to collect a bride, to get a bride together, to make her ready, and we're going to be ready. Amen.
Amen.
Not because of my ability, but because God's Word was sent. Amen. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I thank You so much for the liberty You've given us tonight, Lord. God, help us to break the sound barriers that try to come upon us, Lord. Our young people, Lord, I ask You to bless them, God. Lord, with the heart of David, Lord, where he had the man after God's own heart, God, where they had such a desire to please You, Lord. And Lord, I'm so reminded of how it says that He was so quick to repent. Lord, because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do those things. But God, You're looking at the end product, a finished product, Lord. Help us to behold that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Go ahead and let our musicians come. While they're coming, I just want to mention one other thing. In the Old Testament, you then have to bring that lamb without blemish. And whenever they brought that lamb, they had all kinds of problems in their life. And they'd bring this lamb, and the only thing that priest looked at was the lamb. He didn't even look at their faults. He didn't look at their failures. He didn't look at any of those things. He looked at the lamb. And because the lamb was perfect and the lamb was accepted, they were accepted. Amen? And I want you to remember that. That whenever you ever see faults and failures in yourself, you see weaknesses, when you have the lamb, you got to remember, God's not looking at your weaknesses. He's looking at your sacrifice. Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. If we want to look for failures in ourselves or in our brothers and sisters, well, then it's not hard at all to find that, especially in ourselves. I see more problems in me than I do anybody else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's it. But I'm not looking to that. I've realized that if I look to myself, that's not where my victory is going to come from. But like Brother Daniel said, God's given us His Word. He's given us a message. And that's what I look to. And I realized that I need something that's going to change me. I need something that's going to take me from what I am now to a body change. I don't know how to do it myself. I know I can't feed on CNN or Facebook or my neighbors or whatever. They're not going to help me.
That's right. Right?
But see, how many in here needs body change?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You don't need a body change?
Amen.
Okay. You know, it's my job as pastor I'm going to start trying to provoke people to interact a little bit more when I see them sitting in service and they're not paying attention. And I know they're not. Because, listen, Brother Daniel's right. We're just about there.
Right.
I mean, saints, really, really. What else could happen? And I know things could, but I'm saying, how much is God going to let happen before we're out of here?
Yeah.
We're looking at the hour. Truly, tomorrow could be the day he summons us on high. Or the next day. See, he really could be. And so, I know that I can't look to everything else to change me. So what am I going to do? I'm looking to the message because I realize there's something in that message. And my wife will have to, she probably could bear witness to this. I think she can. I know she could. But I listen to sermons every day. It's very rare that I go through a day that I'm not listening to at least a portion of a sermon. But I listen to almost entire sermons every day. So from reading your Bible and God speaks to you, from listening to sermons, which he's so abundantly given us, and he speaks to you, and through prayer and meditation, and he speaks to me. And what am I looking for? All I know is that one of the most peaceful times I have in my heart is to sit and be listening to the Word of God, listen to it ministered, being in the presence of God in his Word, because there's something there that comes and blesses my soul, and it feeds me.
Yeah.
Now, you don't see, when you eat beans and taters, you don't see that nutrients inside you, you don't see where it goes and how it works, but you know it strengthens you.
Yeah.
You don't question that. You just keep eating, and you keep getting stronger and bigger and bigger. Well, that's the way it is. We just keep eating the Word of God. We keep feeding on what God has given us, and it changes us. So we should be spending our time staying in the presence of the Word and keep pressing on. That's what that voice from that other dimension, Brother Bram was sitting there, and he wanted, see, past the curtain of time, and he heard that voice, and they were saying, keep pressing on, keep pressing on. I must have said something funny, because my wife's got a smile on her face. But I'm just saying, I do. I listen to sermons every day, and it's because I want something from it.
Yeah.
I realize that's where my strength is coming from, and I want my fire to be lit. Because I know that whatever God speaks to me, whatever he's speaking to me, whether it's from a sermon I hear a minister preach, or if it's from the Bible or for something, the Lord speaks to me when I'm in prayer. It doesn't make any difference. If it lights my fire, I bring it to you because I know that's what he wants you to have.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. Isn't that right, brother?
Yeah.
You just bring to the pulpit what God puts in your heart to burn.
Yeah.
And we as ministers have to believe that, listen, that's the channel that God is going to feed you by.
Yeah.
So he's right. You should pray for that. You should pray that if that channel is the size of a straw, that it opens up to the size of a 4-inch PVC pipe.
You did.
To open up to your ministry and give us the ability to receive and the ability to bring and give to you. Because we really are in that hour. And he's right. God saves his best for last. I believe that. I don't feel like the best. But if you look at what God has promised, this church is not going out defeated. They are going out as a victorious people.
That's right.
Absolutely victorious. I broke down several little things there that I wanted to mention. I have to try and come along and preach behind you, But, you know, we're supposed to live for one another, right? And every one of us go through times where we feel like we don't want to. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
But that is not an influence from God. It absolutely is not. When we want to just stall out on the people that need us, stall out on our responsibilities where the others are at stake, that is not from God. God is diligent. He's a man of his household. He gets up and does his job every day. And anybody that follows in his footsteps and a child of his is going to be the same way. Whether it's male or female, they're up and at it and doing their job and living for others because that's what life is about.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, I don't want to. Well, listen, there's an anointing on this age called people's rights.
That's right.
Everybody wants to do what they want. Everybody wants their way. Everybody wants everything served to them just like they want it. They don't want to give out nothing, but they want everything. Right?
That's right.
See, I think grown-ups know it. But I'm saying this to the young people because I know you young people are pressed with those same things. Trying to tell you, you're missing something. Like Brother Daniel said, you're missing this, you're missing that. Well, you know what? I'm a little bit older, and I've looked over on the other side of the fence. I was there on the other side of the fence one time. I was over there in places I wouldn't want to tell you where I was at. And I've been there, and I know what I'm talking about. Well, you maybe you haven't been there. And so the devil's got a little more pull with you to tell you, yeah, you really need to look over there. But it's a dangerous thing. And he's telling you that you're missing stuff and you're missing this and you need to live your life and you need to have this and have that. And I will tell you that when it's all over and done with, you'll, on your last dying days, you'll look back on your life and regret the fact that you didn't live for others, that you didn't. Now, and think about it. When you're down and you're in need and somebody comes and does something for you, what does that do to you? Well, you know what? You have the power to do that to others every day. Every day. There's always somebody that's got a worse day than you.
That's right.
A worse time than you. I'm not having to go to the hospital and to the doctors 3 and 4 and 5 times a week because I got leukemia. I'm not having to. There's somebody's always got a worse day than you. There's somebody that you can always be a blessing to. And it might be right in your own household. It might be right in your own church. And you're letting the devil trick you and pull one over on you if he talks to you and tells you that you don't have to, you can live for yourself and not live for others. And so, Brother Daniel mentioned something there about the man and woman. He said they were going to get a divorce. And see, they'd had a baby, and that baby had died. And when they found that pair of shoes, and that pair of shoes belonged to the baby, that was something that had belonged to both of them. They couldn't separate it. They couldn't separate it. And listen, the devil will lie to you, and he'll make you think about everything else, and he will not make you think about the things that you have in common.
That's right.
He will not make you think about the things that cannot be separated. He'll make you think about the other stuff so you'll walk away in pursuit of that. And what Brother Daniel mentioned, what is the one thing that we all have in common? Right? Jesus Christ. What we all have in common, I want you to listen to me, every one of you. What we all have in common, we all need a Savior. We're all in the same boat. Every one of us coming to this world speaking lies. Every one of us need the grace of God. And every one of us need our brothers and sisters help. We're all in the same boat. So we have no right to stand back and look at anybody else and say, well, they're not as good or whatever, because we're all in the same boat. So let's look at what we need. What we have in common is that one thing, is our Savior.
Yes.
Let's look at Him. And by looking at Him and not letting the devil get us off our eyes off of Him onto something else, we'll stay together.
Amen.
We won't be separated. We won't be going somewhere else and looking for things. Brother Daniel mentioned about this message being a vindicated message. And there's a lot of ways you could say this about it being a vindicated message. Not just the fact that Brother Branham took this Bible that we read and he shook it in the devil's face and made the devil back down, and he did it all around the world for 30-some-odd years. Not just because of that. But they wait, these cowards, they wait till Brother Branham's gone, and wait till the people who were here when he was here, wait till they're dead, so they can't come forward and testify to it. And then they start trying to bring up things and lying about stuff. That's cowards.
Yeah.
That's cowards. It was a vindicated message, but I wasn't here to see those things. I wasn't here. Brother Branham passed off the scene about 7 days before I was born. So I wasn't here. I've never been tied to that. But I'll tell you what, the things that man said, the things that he saw in the Spirit working in that day, and the things that he said for us to watch for would come to pass in our governments and in our schools and in our society, if done exactly what the man has said when the rest of the world is saying it wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's done exactly that. It has followed exactly down the pathway that only we as messenger believers see what's actually going. So it's coming to pass, like you said, but here's another thing. A vindicated message to me is this. There's keeping power in it.
Amen. That's right.
There's something in this message that keeps that world away from us.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Because God said He would have Him a people, He would have a bride, that,
yeah,
that He would bring to Himself without spot or blemish. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're thankful that God will do those things. So, you know, God will provide you what you need. Let's go to Psalm 5:10. We're just going to sing a little short song here. It's "Thank You, Lord." Amen. Oh, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. just look to the Lord for everything that we need. He'll provide. And it can be ever just as simple as you would think, or as complicated as you would think. I may have told this testimony once, but I was at work one time, and I have to do this programming sometime called LabVIEW. It's a software that you use, and there's people out there that have learned it or whatever. They have schools for it. But I learned it myself just by being able to work with it. And I had a problem, a software bug. And I didn't know how to fix it. And it was on some test equipment that I needed to fix. And I just said in my heart, I said, Lord, I'm sitting there, and this room is a long room, and there's a door that leads out into other rooms, which leads out into our production facility that we have. And I just said, Lord, in my heart, you're going to have to help me fix this. And I had no sooner than said that, till I seen that door in the corner of my eye, I seen it open, and I turned, and here come a guy walking through there, and he was making a beeline just as straight for me as he could. And this guy was one of the few people that Baldor has ever hired. He was hired as a LabVIEW specialist. That's what they hired him for. He worked in another department in the same building, but he worked in another department. And for some reason, I don't even remember what it was, but he came right straight to me. He said, I got a question. Can you tell me something? Something I need to know. And I was sure, you know. And then I said, well, I got a question for you. And he answered that, what my problem was, just about 2 minutes, it was over with. But I'm just saying, you know, just it could be ever so simple or ever complicated, whatever. But as simple as your faith is to ask God for help, it'll make a better difference. He can do it. I heard a story, I think James Robinson said this, told about this years ago. He read it in a book or something like that, and it was a story about a man back in the medieval days, and he was a Christian. And they were chasing him. They were on horses and had chasing how they did, you know, back in the days of the Inquisition and all that. He was running for his life, trying to get away, and they were trying to chase him down and kill him. And he ran into a cave and hid back in the cave. And he could hear them coming. They wasn't very far away. And are you listening? He ran in that cave and got real quiet, and he watched a spider drop down off the entrance of the cave and start weaving a spider web.
Yeah.
And in just a few minutes, that spider web, he weaves webs across that cave. And when those men come up, one of them run up in the cave to look in the cave, and the man looked at that spider web and said, he ain't in here. Because that spider web was across there.
Yeah.
Because they knew that if he had run in that cave, it would have... Uh-huh. And they run up, and the man's life was spared.
Amen.
Just that simple.
Yeah.
God can command whatever it takes to deliver you and give you what you need. That's the kind of God we serve. Listen, He spanned the universe. Surely He can help you in your battle. Amen? So we thank Him for that.
Amen.
Let me thank the Lord for what you heard today.
Amen.
I just want to take it home while you think about it.
Amen.
I'm just going to pray for the service this weekend.
Amen.
Amen. This is our Independence weekend. I don't think there's much independence now for America. But we as believers, we've got independence. Amen. Because one died for us. One went to battle for us and gave us our independence from sin and death and pain and sorrow and sickness. So if we can't rejoice in our nation anymore, we can certainly rejoice in our Heavenly Father and what He's done for us. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.